All right, so let's. I have a question for you guys. How many of you guys have siblings? Nice. Okay. And how many times has those siblings annoyed you? Yeah. And how many of you would rather just not be around your siblings because they annoy you? A few. Yeah. Me too. Sometimes I love my sister, but sometimes we just don't agree with each other, and I'd rather not be with her because I get very annoyed with her. And let's just dive into our passage, see what Jesus has to say about children. All right, and it says in Mark 10, verses 13 through 16, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them." So let me give you some context of what's going on here. Jesus has been traveling with his disciples, has been making his ways through the towns, preaching to thousands. He's already done like the Sermon on the Mount. He's on his way to Jerusalem, where he's going to get crucified, where that's where he's going to surrender himself and take on the sin of the world and die for us. And along the way, he's been teaching his disciples. He's been having small groups with them, teaching them his heart, teaching them more about the Father. And along the way, he was healing people. He was performing miracles. He was making signs and wonders. And over here, it's very curious that disciples are very standoffish with people. How many times have we been standoffish with people or not welcomed someone in? I know that I have. When I'm too busy doing my own thing, I don't really want to deal with people, so I'd rather just, hey, I don't have time for you right now. And Jesus had just spoken about, in the previous passages, about marriage. He had spoken about divorce. And without a doubt, these are decisions that adults make. You know, children aren't going to marry themselves, or children aren't going to divorce themselves. So the disciples considered, hey, like, God is talking about some very high stuff, so children, we don't really want them here. It's not really suited for them, so they can go, you know, do something else, but, you know, these teachings are too high up there. We don't need them to be around Jesus. But on the other hand, like, Jesus had just spoken to them and talked to them about children in the passage, so it makes me wonder, like, man, what was going on in the disciples' minds? And in Matthew 9, verse 33 through 37, it says this: "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing along the way?'" The disciples had been, you know, kind of talking among themselves as Jesus is walking, and they're kind of asking themselves, who was the greatest disciple? Who was the one that performed the most miracles? They were kind of flexing their faith. It's like, well, I casted out 10 demons today. Well, I casted out 20. Well, I prayed more for people. Or, hey, I actually fed more people. They were arguing about these things, saying, who's the best disciple out here? Who's the one that's performing the most signs, the most wonders? But they kept silence, for on the way they had argued and sat down with each other and talked about who among them was the greatest. And he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all the servants of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives such a child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but he who sent me." It's a little bit confusing. Let me say that again. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but he who sent me." So he's saying, hey guys, I don't want to hear this thing about who's the greatest, who's this, or that. I'm here for you guys, and I'm here to serve. And I want to love on this child. And a child can be literally a small child, but also refers to us as children. Jesus sees us as children. No matter if we're 90 years old or if we're just little babies, we're still children to him. And what he's saying here, if you don't receive a person with love, with care, you're missing the whole picture. You're missing all of it completely. You're putting more focus on you and what you've done, what you've accomplished, rather than rejoicing and receiving someone that's new to faith, or someone that's new to hearing about who this Jesus person was. And we refer to them to illustrate the way that a disciple should receive a child, should receive someone else. And he later made a very serious warning about the possibility of someone making a disciple or a new believer like stumble in their way. And when you look back earlier in Mark 10, and he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." That's some pretty heavy stuff. That's challenging for me. Because I know that sometimes I've gone too busy and not wanting to receive someone, or kind of push some away because I'm too busy with my own agenda. I'm too busy to stop and like, oh man, okay, what are you dealing with? Oh, no, you're distracting me. I'm going to focus on me right now. And for Jesus, he got mad at that. I mean, the word says that he was indignant when he saw his disciples do that. He had been teaching them like about this love, about receiving, about the kingdom of God, and how we're going to enter it, and how if you don't receive everyone, it's going to be hard for you to get in. You could be talking about all day long about the stuff that you've done for God's kingdom, but if you don't love, if you don't receive, then what are you really doing? You're just making yourself look good. And I want you to like imagine yourself in that situation. Imagine you're there in the Jesus time, and Jesus is walking, there's crowds following him, and here you see parents like going up to Jesus. They want to get their children up to him so that he can bless them, so that he can like touch them, so he can love on them. And here the disciples are almost like, if you can imagine, like if you put it into day's time, you could see them all geared up with like their suits, with their like black glasses, with their little like walkie-talkies, like, "Children alert, children alert, children alert, we gotta keep them away, we gotta keep them away." And it's like, come on. You know, these parents are wanting to bring their children up to Jesus. I know if I was there, I would run to that. Because they knew of this person, they knew of this Messiah who was, not only was he a healer, but he was a restorer, and he was speaking life to these people. And that tells us a lot of like who Jesus is in his character of how he cares for us and how he loves us. He knew that in Jerusalem, death was waiting for him. He knew that as soon as he would get to Jerusalem, all these things were going to happen. And he wanted to like take his time. It's like, you know what? Let me slow down. Let me take my time. There's still work to be done right here. There's still people that I need to bless. There's still people that I need to pray. There's still people that I'm going to heal. But his disciples so often forgot. Hey, we're on a schedule, Jesus. We got to get you to all these towns. We can't stop and linger. But Jesus just slowing himself down. It's like, man, I need to bless these children. I can imagine the crowds of just people running up to him and him trying to like touch everyone and not getting to everyone right there, but then stopping and then picking up a child. It's like, man, you're going to do something for my kingdom. You're going to be a church planter. You're going to be where I put my foundation. You're going to be a rock somewhere in this city. The disciples wanted to take that away because they were focused on something else. focused on just getting to where they needed to be rather than understanding what Jesus was really trying to do with everyone. Verse 13, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. Jesus was someone that people wanted to be around. How many of you guys have been to like a place like you were either a concert where like you want to just touch that like artist's hand because like it's so cool, it's so awesome? Well, Jesus was that for them. People wanted to like run to this great person that was bringing, that was making all this change happen, where they were so desperate to see that. And the Bible doesn't tell us that these children were diseased. It doesn't tell us that they needed healing of some sort, or that they were having, you know, trouble. They had like a demon, and like it doesn't say that. It says that the parents were bringing their children to him so that Jesus could put his hands on them and bless them. And not only bless them, but like, guys, when you like bless them, when you reach out to someone and place a hand on them and pray for them, you're doing so much more than just doing a physical touch. You're interceding for that person. You're asking the Father, like, Lord, bless this person. Lord, give this person encouragement. Give them, fill them with love. Father, if they're dealing with fear, take that away. Father, if they're dealing with anything that's troubling them, that's making their heart weak, Father, I pray that you give them life. That's when you guys do it. When you guys bless someone, when you guys touch someone, it does something. It does something. And we got to believe that. We got to humble ourselves that we know that we have that same power. So it's Jesus' desire. He desires to anoint us, to bless us. Matthew 19, verse 13 says this. And again, it says, I love how like scripture, you read scripture and you're like, where did I read this? But this is like important. When God's word repeats things, take ear. Listen. Listen to what he's really saying. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so that he could lay their hands on them, and he prayed for them. But disciples again scolded the parents to not bother him. I have a question for you guys. Do we see ourselves, do you guys see yourselves as better than, or hey, I'm too busy, I can't stop and you know, pray for you or be with you, or I'm on my own schedule. How many of you guys have extracurriculars? Wow, that's a lot. Or how many of you guys are so, I guess you could say now, like Netflix, after school, you go on Netflix. I love Netflix. There's some good shows out there. But we get carried away with not spending time with people or not really pouring into ourselves. And I'm not talking about just in school or like with your friends or anything, but even not in our families. When was the last time we sat around the dinner table or like asked our parents, like, hey, is there anything that I could pray for you? Or like, hey, mom and dad, like, can you pray for me right now? Like, I'm really struggling with this. It's easier for us to get focused, like, man, I need to do this or that, and we forget sometimes. And as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, again, on a way to lay his life down for us, to completely give himself up for each and every one of us in this room, to forgive us, to love on us that way. And again, it makes like as I was studying all this and I was reading on this, I was like, man, like disciples were like, you know, like when you tell someone, or like when your mom asks you to do something or your dad, and you kind of hear what they're saying, but then you just want to go because like you know the general thing that they're asking. For example, like those of you who drive, you know, if your parents ask you, hey, can you go pick some stuff at the grocery? And you've only heard grocery, and you're already out the door. And it's happened to me because I remember when I started driving, I was like, heck yeah, I have a car. I'm going to go. I'm going to go to HEB. I'm going to pick some stuff up. And my mom's like, okay, but like, can you get like bread, like cilantro? Can you get some like tortillas? Can you get some apple juice, some orange juice, some ham, some, you know, the list goes on. And all I heard was, okay, orange juice, eggs, and what was it, candy? And I just take off. And then I'm like, man, what did she really say? And over here, the disciples are doing that with Jesus. They knew that he's talking about children and you receive them. Like, you can't enter the kingdom unless you welcome them. Like, you got to welcome everyone and love on everyone and teach them to follow, like, you know, the Father and listen to the Father. But they're like, okay, cool. But also, children, go away. So it's like, oh, you guys don't listen. And I've done that sometimes where, like, I'll half hear what my parents were saying and then I'll just go. And then I have to humble myself. Hey, mama, what did you want again? Can you just send me the list, please? And the disciples failed to do that. And when they finally, like, realize, they're probably just like, oh, mm-hmm, yep, that's the thing that I didn't do, and Jesus said to do the thing. So disciples, they, like, wanted to intervene to making, like, putting walls up. They were marking a clear distance. They didn't want random people there. They didn't want the random kids to be there, because honestly, like, sometimes kids can get a little bit frustrating. Those that have served in children's ministry know. Sometimes they get super rowdy. Sometimes they get really loud. They won't stop crying, and you're just like, oh my gosh, just stop. Like, what do you want? Goldfish? Yeah, goldfish. But it's like understanding that, man, like, when you really, like, are with children and, like, are, like, you know, taking care of them, it's something so interesting that, like, I, like, think about that, you know, you can have two kids fighting about something, like, you give them candy or like, a toy, and, you know, they want it, and it's mine, and then they start crying, and then they go to either the parent or whoever to get comfort, and then, like, 2 minutes later, they're, like, best friends with that kid that they were, like, literally fighting and pushing each other down, and you're just like, whoa. That's awesome. They're so quick to forgive. They're like, it's done. It's forgiven. Like, they've reconciled. And now they're back playing with each other. And it's so different for us, like, us that are not children anymore, that when we get mad at someone, sometimes we won't even talk to them for years or ever. And I think God's talking to us. Jesus is saying here, like, man, be like children. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to reconcile. Be quick to be in community with each other. Man, that's rough. That's rough. When someone's hurt you really deeply, when someone's done, but you don't know what they did to me. They really hurt me. They don't deserve my friendship. It's so different when you, like, humble yourself and you're like, you know what? God's word says that I need to forgive and love those who hurt me. Bless those who curse you. That's not a popular thing, like, at all. And it takes a lot for us to actually come into that understanding of what Jesus is saying to us. Forgive them, just like I have forgiven you. And my friends, we're not all perfect. We struggle with some deep stuff. We struggle with whatever it may be that we wrestle with. You're like, man, like, I don't want to talk to that person. Or like, hey, like, I deal with a lot of anger and, you know, I don't really care what I said because they deserve it. Man, it's not a good place to be. And Jesus came and died for us. Jesus came and forgave all of that. We are free of that. When we receive Christ in our hearts, when we receive him and accept him, and by faith we are saved. Not by, like, all the works that we do. We can't work our way into salvation. Jesus gives us this free gift, and all we have to do is turn from the way we are and follow him. So that we can further his kingdom, so that we have peace in our hearts, so that we have joy, just like a child has joy. And again, back to the illustration where little kids are fighting, they come back, they get comforted by their parents, And again, they go back out and they're fine, like nothing happened. I love in Mark 9, verse 36 to 37, he says, "And he took a child and he placed them in their midst. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever receives a child like this in my name receives me and receives the one who sent me.'" And why did the disciples adopt this attitude of being standoffish? Why did they decide to push people away, push parents away with their children? Perhaps they thought that they were going to get slowed down. Sure. They were going to slow them down a little bit. But not enough that it would make a difference. But in their minds, it's like, man, if we stop right here, we're going to spend another week here. Or perhaps maybe they thought that, like, this was so, we have to do this again. And they wanted to be on that mindset of, like, we have a place to be. Or maybe they thought, like, maybe we'll protect Jesus from, like, getting overwhelmed. And sometimes you don't want to overwhelm someone with all these things. So sometimes you want to, like, hey, this isn't a good time. This isn't a good time. When it could be the best time. And they probably believe that Jesus didn't have time for the little ones. And when you look back in history, in like the Greek history, the Hebrew history, you weren't really considered an adult until you were like 13 or so. Other than that, you were just a child. And even though in other verses, like, yeah, it was great to have children and it was a blessing and everything, but they weren't really taken into account because they couldn't really offer anything. But a child offers so much. They teach us so much on how to be patient, on how to, like, they can teach us how to be quick to forgive and literally, like, forgive and forget when sometimes it's hard for us. It's so hard for us. Or maybe they thought that, you know, man, they're going to start crying, they're going to start whining, they're going to start complaining, they're going to, so all these things are just assuming that it was going to happen. So for them, it was a lot easier to push them away so they don't have to deal with that than rather receiving them like Jesus was wanting to receive them. How many of us in our lives have felt like, man, like, I don't really want to deal with that person right now? Yeah? Or how many times, like, man, like, they're going to come. Like, I don't know. They're going to bring who's coming with them? No, I don't like them. And I've been there, guys. Like, I've had cousins that, like, they come over. I'm just like, oh, no, mom. No, no, no. Please, 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 please. No. Like, they're going to, And I've had to learn to, like, no, it's okay. Like, they're family. I'm going to love on them. And I'm going to receive them well. And again, it goes back to, like, this attitude of being childlike. Yes, they can be a distraction. Yes, they can be. It could be challenging. But for the disciples, children, again, they were an unnecessary nuisance that they wanted to avoid. And they thought that the kingdom of God was only an adult thing to do. And Jesus' second saying relates to how a person should welcome other people. Like I was saying earlier, like, we're also children. We also need to run to Jesus, or like wanting to get that blessing from him, wanting to for Jesus to like touch us and come into our hearts and pour for us so we can like overflow to other people. And it makes me think of receiving this gift. Jesus has given us this gift, this free gift of salvation, this free gift that we can take, that we don't have to work for, we just receive it completely. And again, I love the repetition in all these verses. In Matthew 18:3, it says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom." And I think one of the key words there is turn. Like turn, like turn, like no, but no, I'm already kind of set in my ways. I don't really want to go back and like turn like a child, because child, I don't want to be like a child. Lord, like I'm past that age. But this verse reminds us to promote a childlike faith and to have that humility and to have that like humbleness of saying like we don't have it all together. We can't be that hard at it that we're going to push people away because we have our own agenda and we tend to build up walls. And we don't want to let anyone in. We're too tight-niched. The desire to be the greatest in the kingdom is displays sometimes a pride that was inconsistent and not genuine with the disciples, because they thought it was only an adult thing, that the kingdom of God was only an adult thing, that they're the only ones that could be around it and not children. And again, when we go back to the verse where Jesus got indignant, he got mad, and it shows his sincerity. It shows his true love that he has for the little ones. It showed that, man, like, you guys are missing the point. I'm calling everyone in, children, teenagers, adults, old people, everyone. I'm not excluding any of them. I want them all. I want them all. But first of all, the children, because they're the next generation. My friends, you guys are the next generation. You guys are the ones that are going to take the mantle of your parents and go further and further. But again, receiving Jesus and knowing that he has total control of all of our situations, he takes everything into account, and he won't ever leave us. He died for us. He came to restore us. He came to give us life again. But it's easy for us to just kind of listen to what he's saying, but then not doing. You can listen, but then it's different when it comes to like the action plan. Like how are you going to display childlike faith? How are you going to receive God's kingdom like a child? And it could look different for everyone. And like as a challenge to you guys, I mean, either in school or at home, like having the courage and the boldness to like pray for someone, having the courage to go and talk to someone and actually not just ask them how they are. I don't like when people come and it's like, hey, how are you, Evan? Good. Boom. That's done. My favorite thing to do is like, Paige, what was the highlight of your week? That's so sweet. And you can open up more in conversation rather than saying a very closed-ended question. I'm good. Okay, cool. But like have a little bit more and having that genuine desire to like know those people. And then that's your chance to be able to share of your faith, to be able to share of who Jesus is or what he's done in your life. Or maybe you have like a common problem that you guys can share and encourage each other in. We're not by ourselves. Those that deal with anger or frustration, depression, suicidal thoughts, porn addiction, anything like that. Guys, you're not by yourselves. You have your brothers and sisters around you that will encourage you to step out of that. Encourage you to be like, no, you know what? It's okay. The devil's not going to have the last say in this, but Jesus is. He's going to free us from that. He's going to restore us. He's going to bring us back. He's going to heal our hearts. But again, we have to like humble ourselves to that. Like we have to receive it. We have to come into full agreement. It's like, Lord, I don't have it all fixed together. I don't want to push you away. I don't want to keep putting these walls up when you're clearly calling me, when you're clearly showing your affection for me. The kingdom of God must be received as a gift. It cannot be achieved by human effort. It may be entered only by those who know that they are helpless. Who know that they're helpless. To know that we need a Savior. And my friends, like Jesus gives this gift so freely. So freely. And all he asks us to do is to turn from whatever it is that we're doing and to follow him. To take up your cross and follow him, no matter what that is, even if that's an unpopular thought right now. But his word is clearly speaking to us. For us to go in boldness, like, you know what, like, if I really want to hear from God, I'm going to open my Bible, I'm going to open the word, and I'm going to listen and obey to what my Father is saying to me today. Sometimes I've made the mistake where I'll read the Bible one, and then I'll read a verse, and okay, that's cool, but I won't meditate on it. Or I won't ask God, Lord, you need to give me clarity. What is this really saying? How can I apply this into my life right now? So in this verse that we talked about, letting the children come to me so I can bless them, who are we stiff-arming, or who are we pushing away that we're not letting Jesus come in and restore us? Whether that be something that we've been struggling for years, or unforgiveness, or unbelief, or doubt. God wants to fully take that away. And I want you guys to receive that. Just to receive that gift that Jesus has for each and every one of us. To be joyous, to be encouraged by him. Always. Jesus will never leave you guys empty-handed. And even though if you feel like you're in the thick of it, or like, man, he's really not like listening to me right now, I'm going to do my own thing, that's not true. Jesus is right around the corner. He's waiting for you like with his arms wide open. And he asks, just come to me. Just be with me. And I will give you that peace, and I will give you that restoration that we so desperately seek for. Sometimes we don't need to understand all of the mysteries of this world, or the things that we don't know the answers to. And we just need to trust God with humbleness and know that he's with us always, no matter what. No matter what we do, he's always with us. So having a childlike faith. I want to invite the band back up here. And again, if you guys want to write these questions down and just ask Jesus, saying, who am I pushing away? And where am I not listening to God? And the third question is, where have I wandered off to? What is Jesus calling us to do today? How are we going to display that childlike faith to someone else? Whether that be in our family or in our schools. And that's one of the challenges that I want to give to you guys. Is who will you reach out to today? To hang out with, to teach them more about Jesus. And it's like a challenging thing. It's having that boldness to go out. And again, it goes back to like, I'm too busy. I have things going on. I have extracurricular things. But man, you guys are surrounded with so many people. You guys have an opportunity. You have a neat opportunity each and every week to love on your classmates, to help each other out, to have that opportunity to be like, hey, like, how can I pray for you today? And even though, again, that's a very challenging thing, that's a scary thing to do, to ask someone. The worst they can say is no, and still pray for them. But when they do, man, that's so encouraging. That's so cool that you guys will be able to like lay hands on them, just like Jesus has laid hands in each and every one of you guys. What a cool opportunity we have right now. Today. And again, the opportunity to be able to receive Christ fully, to know that you're fully forgiven, to know that you are fully his, and receiving that gift. We have our response elements here. And it's just a reminder of what Jesus did for us, that even though we're covered with all this sin, he comes and washed it all away. He came for us so we can be free, so we could be like a child, so we can always have that joy, so we could always run to him, to my Father who knows me best. And again, we have our tithes and our offerings. And not just say, like, here's money, but like, Lord, like, I trust you with everything. With everything that you have, I'm going to trust you no matter what. So guys, just invite you to bow your heads with me. And Lord, just, Father, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I pray that as this week goes on and even as spring break is coming up, Father, I pray that you bless us, that you protect us, that you give us the courage to give us that childlike attitude, Father, that we're quick to forgive, that we're quick to just, you know, not hold on to any grudges or anything like that, but Lord, just to fully be humble and know that you're God and that you have good things in store for us. So Lord, we thank you and we just lay all this stuff that we've been carrying at the cross. I pray these things in Jesus' name.